Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This week's episode is proudly sponsored by Loot Crate. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles? Loot Crate brings you between 4 to 6 of the coolest curated mystery items every month, straight to your doorstep. It's the best surprise you know is coming. Loot Crate's next theme is Origins. They have some awesome and exclusive items from all the old school favorites. Now this January, you see where it all started and explore the iconic Origins with historic items featuring Superman, Captain America, Super Mario, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and as always, it includes the monthly t-shirt and the pin. Now, the pin and the t-shirt are always different. They're always bloody awesome. Now you've got until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time in America to subscribe to Loot Crate and to receive this month's crate. When that cutoff happens, it's over. You're going to have to wait for the February one. So make sure you head to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the promo code filthycasuals to save $3 off any new subscription today.
Breaking news, Filthy Casuals is doing its first ever live show on Saturday, April 22nd at 4 p.m. during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the European Beer Cafe. It's going to be your three favourite, kind and knowledgeable boys joined by a bunch of special guests that you've heard on the podcast before from around the comedy festival, plus a whole bunch of surprise special segments that we are putting together right now. It's going to be an awesome day. Tickets are pretty limited, so don't delay. Jump on it and book right now. Tickets can be found at tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive. Get a ticket and we'll see you there. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got me, Tommy Dasilo. Hello. Happy New Year. You've also got, I've stepped on your toes, haven't I? I've said the thing you were going to say. One of the other hosts of the show, Ben Vanell.
I'll say it anyway. Hello, I'm Tommy Dasilo. No, I'm Ben Vanell, the first mate of the good ship Filthy Casuals.
And the third host of the show, we're recording this a little bit in advance, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he didn't get a kiss when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. It's Adam Knox.
You got to pay extra for that, so I didn't want to...
Our little cabin boy.
Yeah, I was wondering what joke pirate thing you were going to give me. What joke ship nautical thing.
Cabin boy.
I'm naughty cool. That's what I am, not even nautical.
Real nice.
We got a bit of... We got something special for you this week.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so this is... It's the middle of summer. It's the middle of the holidays.
Yep.
The holiday season.
January the 4th. It is currently January the 4th.
Okay.
I think you've got that wrong.
We're doing that fun thing that like tonight shows do when they go like, play along everybody, it's Friday.
Oh yeah.
But they're recording on a Thursday.
That is fun.
It is very fun.
And
when Conan does it, he wiggles around.
Everyone is aware that that happens. That's deep insider show business knowledge that every man on the street is privy to.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, we're usually in here, we're talking about stuff that's come out recently that we've played. Yep. We sort of figured this is going to be a bit of a dark spot for video game releases.
Yep.
So we thought we would, you know, we want you to have something to listen to over the holiday period and rather just go dark, to use a bit more showbiz lingo. Adam, you wouldn't know this, but that means just not doing a show for a couple of weeks.
Oh, right. I have no idea what that's like.
Yeah. No, it means it's not Jackson Jive style. It's
well, that's like, what I was worried.
Yeah.
Conan taking
like
a couple of weeks.
Like when Arsenio Hall got the Tonight.
Wow.
I didn't say it. Tommy Dasilo did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll sign off on that. I don't care. I'm untouchable. So we thought it would be fun to do something a bit different where we go right back into the archives, and we are going to do a limited history of the Super Mario series.
Yes, as you can tell probably from the episode title, we're going to do the early games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to be the ones from 1985 to 1995 and like the main ones.
Yes.
That's the way we're divvying this up.
When I was 1 year away from being born until I was 9 years old.
4 years before I was born until I was six.
Two and eight.
But yeah, we thought like Mario is the one that we all know sort of the most innate stuff about. We don't have to go back and do much research on these games because we played them. And so have most people, I would say.
I think so.
Play video games, would have played some Mario at some point.
Yeah.
I'd love to know who's really into games that has never played a Mario.
Yeah.
There must be people out there.
I think there are. I think there was an article in the past couple of months that was like millennials like have never played a Mario game.
Just the idea of sitting down to write an article like, who hasn't played Mario?
Hey, it's you gotta generate that content,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do. What's articles the opposite of a think piece?
Articles about things that not happening make the best clickbait of all, I find.
Yeah.
So we thought we would give a bit of a history of this, provide you with some fun facts that you may not have heard.
Yeah, and give
and what happens next will blow your mind about the Mario series.
Dr. Mario's hating.
Yeah. Number 17 will shock you.
Sorry, we talked over it. Dr. Mario's Hate Him deserved a lot more.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, that's good. I didn't even hear
that. It's very, very good.
I'll bump it up in the mix.
Well, but maybe this is... Oh, okay,
put some reverb on that.
I'll save this fun fact for when we actually get to this game. Yeah. But anyway, how do we want to... How do we want to get into
this? Well, we've written some little intros for each of them, and I think we're going to like make it a little more structured than
absolutely.
A normal one.
Well, Adam Knox, on your mark,
you ready for World 1-1?
Oh boy,
let's do it!
All right. Super Mario Brothers came out in 1985 when I was 4 years away from being born on the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Famicom in Japan. Legendary video game designer Shigeru Miyamoto originally came up with the idea for Super Mario Brothers when he was in his garden and was inspired to try and create a game which would recreate the feeling that he had when he was a child exploring the woods and would see two men named Mario and Luigi jumping and leaping through the air. Want to hear more? Well, here it is.
So, boys, what are your early memories of the first Super Mario Brothers game?
Yeah, good question.
The first Mario Brothers was the first time I ever saw a video game. I had this babysitter who was
After 4 years, I was finally let out of the dungeon.
There was this woman who would babysit me who was like this old woman who would just chain smoke constantly. Ooh. And her whole house just like stank of cigarettes. But when you're a kid, you don't really know what that is.
Yes.
You know, I was like,
you can't really criticize an old lady's house when you're like four.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not throwing out. Yeah.
That's one of the benefits of age.
But she had two kids who were, I guess, like teenagers at the time. They would have been, like 15 or something.
Yeah. Right.
And so they had a Nintendo. And yeah, I remember one day sitting down in their living room and then playing it. And this sounds hyperbolic, but couldn't believe what I was seeing. I think that would be pretty common for people anytime the first time they saw a video game, the idea that there's something happening on the screen and that you're controlling it with a thing, you're making stuff happen on the screen.
That was genuinely like when I was a kid, I remember the first few times seeing video games, not being able to understand how it worked.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something you take for granted now that you influence what happens on a screen. But back then, you know, in the 80s and whatever, not that I was alive in 85, but I was 4 years away from being born. But the fact that you could, like, I remember having a thought process of, like, does it bounce off of a station somewhere and someone's moving these things?
Right.
Like, it was I was an idiot.
Yeah.
But also it was very, very cool.
They had that game and they had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles NES game.
Yeah.
Notoriously difficult.
Yes.
The very first, not the arcade ones, the top-down.
The beat-em-up,
there's top-down bits.
Yes.
And then you go into sewers.
It was Mario-esque in there. There was a top-down overworld and then, 2D beat-em-up scrolling kind of
And so
levels,
obviously, the Turtles is like huge. I mean, Mario, I'm like, this looks cool, but also I'm like, what the fuck's this little thing?
Yeah, who's this Turtles, Italian dude?
Turtles is huge at the time, and you're like, you can play as the Turtles?
Yes.
Yeah. Which turtle did you pick, if you could?
I was always Donatello.
Me too.
Yeah. That was my first experience with it. And then I'm trying to think. I don't think, because I had it, and from that moment, I was just like, pestered my parents nonstop. Like, I wanted a NES for my birthday, like, so badly, so badly. And I ended up getting one, but I actually never owned a copy of Mario Brothers. Like, they bought me the NES with a copy of Tom and Jerry. Because your name's Tom.
Yeah, that game was fucking sick, though. It was cool. I had the Game Boy version of that when I was a kid.
It was actually pretty cool.
I never played it.
Again, really hard.
Yeah, totally. Right.
So this is the thing that's interesting about the original Mario Brothers is that they did a – I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but they did a thing ages ago. They did some market research thing, and like 90% of people could not even finish the first level of Mario Brothers.
Really?
Yeah. Because people are so used
to... Now, there's an article. That's how you write an article.
Everything's so... holds your hand now and tutorial-driven and that Tom and Jerry game, it was fucking hard. And those games too, totally. No save file or anything. So you're... I think... Yeah. I don't know if... Maybe it wasn't actually that hard. It was just the fact that you had to start from scratch. But there's so many games of that era where I know the first level... off by heart.
Yeah, totally.
Every time you turned it on, you're going back through it.
And if it takes 4 hours to finish, you're a kid, so 20 minutes is the longest you're going to pay attention to something for.
Yeah.
So you kind of get through that first level and go, ah, I'm done.
Yeah, totally. A little bit.
But a weird thing with like, I remember watching or reading or in some way experiencing some content. God, I'm a cunt. But anyway, I looked at this thing.
He says what we're all thinking.
It was about... like the design of that 1-1, the level there, and how it teaches you things by just showing you them.
Yeah,
so like you run forward and there's that first little Goomba there and it's
everyone
designed
dies
so that
immediately
you die.
When they get to that bit the first time they play
jump,
that game.
But then there's also some blocks above your head. The timing of when you run into the Goomba, you will hit the blocks so that it deliberately teaches you how you can hit these blocks.
Yep.
And it's just like really little things like that that are very, very clever. And
also when Super Mario Maker came out, kind of the best thing about that coming out was they released a lot of – they got really deep in on the nostalgia of it and they released a lot of videos showing – they've still got all the archived like artwork
that might have been where it was.
Game.
It was all drawn on graph paper.
Yeah, they drew it on graphs and they show like the original, like him mapping it out. And it's weird because when you play it now, it seems like it is a little bit random, but thinking of that as being very deliberate design. And that's my problem with the newer ones. It just seems like – oh, we've got to have 80 levels in here. So that's probably there's a pit and a thing.
Yep.
Whereas every level in that game is so precise and deliberate.
Well, because they were making it up for like that whole type of game. They were
That's one of the fun facts that I found is that
Ben's got some fun facts by the way throughout.
Here's a fun fact. This is like arguably, but pretty much the first example of a 2D platformer in video games.
Yeah.
So absolutely they had to teach people how to play that kind of game.
Yeah.
They were creating their own paradigm.
Like they'd done Donkey Kong and stuff before that, which we'll talk about in another one of these potentially if we're going to do another one of these.
Yes.
But
good sizzle.
Oh. Yeah. Just put it in early and put it in vain.
Yeah, hedge those bets, baby.
But going from games like previously just being like the Game & Watch style and single screen.
Sure, arcade games, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mario Brothers now seems so pretty small and simplistic. But
you take it for granted as well.
Yeah, what it represented, for the leap that it represented at the time, it was like basically like an open world. Like it's like you walk all the way to the end of the screen. Yeah. And I remember
the screen moves along. Yeah. Like,
And I remember
you can't go backwards.
No.
Which is a good lesson.
Yes. Like sharks.
Yeah. I remember these two teens showing me even the cheat where you go underground and you get the warp pipe.
Oh, yeah.
You can skip forward to like world 5. Spoiler alert. But you can bypass the first like couple of worlds and just go like, oh my God, like this has everything.
Yeah.
They thought of everything in this game.
Yeah.
And feeling like you were like some deep level hacker for even knowing that was
totally
there.
Well, apparently Miyamoto put the warp levels in because he kind of wanted people to be able to access any part of the game, like any level.
It's a cool workaround for not being able to save or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But kind of hiding them away so it still encouraged people to learn how to be good at the game.
Yeah.
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 Well, and that's
that
shit with like games like Dark Souls. That's the kind of thing they were trying to get people to do where like they'd hide stuff so obscurely that you had to talk to each other to find out about it.
Yeah,
right.
Cool.
Which is something that doesn't really exist anymore even with when it's done deliberately because you just go on the internet and immediately find it.
Yeah.
Well, I think my first proper playthrough of it really was they brought out a deluxe version on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
Hmm. If you remember that. So I had that and that was kind of like my
that
first
thing was
experience
it had
going deep.
That thing had like a calendar in it and yeah. stuff like that.
It has
really
stickers that you could unlock.
Yeah, and then yeah. print on the Game Boy camera,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I loved all that stuff. I liked unlocking all that.
I remember that being good. Yeah, I think
I actually
had that
used
as well.
The calendar when I was a kid.
Oh,
that yeah. was where I put all my
your appointments.
My appointments.
Yeah. yeah, I also didn't. I got a NES, but well, the family got a NES, mm-hmm. But didn't get Super Mario 1. / Duck Hunt when we got it.
Your
we got,
dad yeah. was into all that shit, right?
Yes, yeah. all that crazy
your
shit.
Fucking loser dad was into all this.
yeah, yeah. But I just don't think we had the money to get it when it came out initially.
Yeah.
But then it was like this big Christmas surprise. But yeah, eventually I got around to playing.
What was the NES? What did it sell for when it first came out here?
You'd have to imagine it'd be roughly equivalent, right?
Yeah.
I guess. But
yeah.
Because when you're, yeah, I mean, I just had no idea because you're a kid. You don't know what anything
yeah.
costs.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think of a NES being like $200, $300.
Yeah. It must have been, right? Like
it,
maybe
yeah,
even
it
more.
Have to have been.
Yeah.
They're yeah. originally the size of a whole room.
but yeah, I played a game coming up in our little rundown. First, mm-hmm. I played Super Mario Bros. 3. Then I played Super Mario Bros. 1.
Right.
Which was, a weird thing to go back to the first one. But, like, it's great. It's a classic. I love it. I even loved going back to the... Like, it was a retro thing when I first played it as
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, right, right.
So, like, the
yeah.
old, like, the fire flower, like, weird animation and all, like, yeah. it all being really simplistic. But like
you just can't yeah. beat like anytime you're around somewhere and it's like someone has it on their virtual console or you have a ROM of it or whatever.
Yeah.
You just even just playing that I regularly will just yeah on whatever version just play that first level
yeah.
and just that kind of that nostalgia and that just hearing the start of that music.
Oh yeah.
And just running through it and the little fireworks going off.
Yeah.
It's just it feels good. It's yep. just
it still controls well and shit as well.
Yeah.
Like
totally.
Like that sort of fundamental stuff is what makes games age most,
yes.
in my opinion, is like
yep.
when it starts to feel weird.
And the
yeah,
feeling when
right.
you get a mushroom doesn't. For the first time
yeah.
and not knowing what was going to happen, and then yeah. all of a sudden he's fucking twice the size. Fuck yeah!
Yeah, you got him, Mario! go fuck him up!
But even introducing like the mechanics of collecting coins,
yeah.
Yeah.
like
yeah.
all of that stuff, it's like, it is mind-blowing how groundbreaking it was. Like,
yeah, yeah. And what and anything that at the time it's like, what the fuck were they thinking?
Yeah.
The
absolute madman.
The absolute madman. He, yeah, I remember reading something about how they were very stressed about, like, the mechanics of the jumping as well,
yeah.
like the physics of it.
Yep.
Like, really weighed on them. But, yeah, it... Yeah, hot take, great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. What amazing content we're putting out. Super Mario Brothers 1, officially good.
Well, something that I never even hadn't got an inkling of or looked into when I played it was the story of Mario Brothers 1.
Yeah, because it would have just been in the manual or something, right? They were all that back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know if it was in the manual, but apparently the story is that all the enemies and all the bricks in all of the levels
yep.
were citizens of the Mushroom Kingdom that got turned into things by Bowser's black magic.
Oh, wow.
And your stated goal at the start of the game is to save Princess Peach, but also to save all the citizens.
Mm.
But apparently, like, if you complete the game, the citizens don't turn back. They just stay Goombas and bricks and stuff, and you murder half of them anyway.
Right.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, which is just like a very...
There's a second difficulty when you finish it once as well, right? It says like, hey, push up and B on the menu.
I've never finished it.
Yeah, I think it does do that. And then
oh, wow.
when you finish that second run through, it gives you a different ending. I'm
right.
fairly sure. I think I'm right about this.
It's crazy
right.
to look at that game now and just the simplistic sprites and, you know, Toad being there and telling you the princess is in another castle and just going like, one day you're all going to be fucking riding around in go-karts
yeah.
and playing it like not like...
Hope you motherfuckers like tennis.
That as it's made, like they had no idea that it's just going to become this...
Yeah.
Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That cool thing of like old fashioned things being drawn for function as well. I
yeah.
really like
yeah.
it. Where like Mario has a mustache because you want to show what direction he's pointing in and shit
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yes.
totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has a hat because hair was too hard to draw.
Yeah.
yeah.
All that
yeah.
sort of shit. And
yeah.
like that's really cool. All those sort of like functional things like designing.
It's also to be fair, the mustache is to let you know that he's a dirty Giuseppe as well.
Moving on.
That would be great. You watch this interview with Shigeru and it's like all in Japanese and you're like, I bet he's talking about some beautiful, like real, like deep artistic philosophy. Functional reason. And then you get a translator in and it's like, oh God, he's just teeing off about the Italians.
There's a few things before we should move on. Was it the creation of Bowser? I can't imagine it. Bowser was around before the first game.
I think that was probably Bowser showing up.
Yeah.
He was King Koopa, wasn't he? He wasn't Bowser at that point. I think he was King Koopa.
Possibly, yeah.
Maybe in Japan he was called Bowser.
I think it's the other way around. I think he's always been King Koopa in Japan and then he's Bowser for the West.
Right.
Right.
I don't know.
And he's a turtle.
Yeah.
He ain't no dragon. I always thought it was a dragon.
No, he's a big turtle.
He's a big scary turtle.
Well, he's
big
a tortoise, turtle. I guess.
What is he? So he's like a Koopa.
Tortoises
like a
are the ones with hands, right?
Is he basically like a Koopa that just like sculled a slab of like mother energy?
I think so, yeah.
He's the king of the Koopas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would have been the first appearance of Bowser because Mario's origins are Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
He's the villain in... He's you play as him... Although back then he was called Jumpman.
Yes.
He was
going to be Jumpman for this as well, but they decided to give him some kind of character.
And then Luigi was in Mario Brothers, which was the arcade thing. And then I think Koopas weren't in that. They were just turtles at that point.
Yeah. Right.
But then they sort of made them look like Koopas later on.
Yeah.
And then Mario, the villain in Donkey Kong
Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Where he's locked up Donkey Kong and you play as little baby Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Miyamoto got to really put the Italian the role he wanted him to be in. he's the prisoner. Not prisoner, villain. Why did I say prisoner?
Yeah, he's the prison warden.
I was thinking of Donkey Kong being in a cage. You know what I mean? I think he's in a cage for that.
He is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a goddamn circus animal.
Yeah, Mario made the trains run on time.
You're right. You know what? Again, we probably should have done more research for this, but something about him, there is some story about him being given a name where I think it's to do with, I don't know, I think it's the amount that you play as him in it, and if it's going to be this whole thing, then he has to have a bit more.
Oh, yeah.
He has to have a bit more...
A persona.
Yeah.
But again,
it's interesting, all these things that are just kind of like coincidental that have turned into... It's not someone sitting there going like, oh, let's try and make the most influential character one of the most influential pop culture things of all time.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, we just need a little thing and red and blue look cool.
Oh, you know what? I think Mario came from one of the developers or the designers having a landlord called Mario.
Yeah, that's right.
And it kind of looking like the design and then just using that name.
I've read that before. I think he actually even worked at the place and he was like on the maintenance
janitor or something. I'm sure I read that in actually doing research
for
this.
I hope that landlord is dining out on it, like much like the soup Nazi from Seinfeld that guy was based on.
You guys heard of Mario? Like Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah, so I reckon that about wraps up Super Mario Brothers 1.
Yeah.
A great game.
Yep, let's move on.
What happened next? I'll tell you. Hold on, I'm going to turn the brightness down on my phone though. I'm not making these up. I'm reading them off my phone, by the way. I'm reading this. Super Mario Bros. 2, the Japanese version, was released in 1986 for the Famicom. Nintendo followed up quickly on the success of their innovative new idea by creating an almost identical yet less accessible game shortly after and charging a perhaps unreasonable amount for it. Releasing something with such similar content and expecting people to pay was an unwise decision on Nintendo's part. Thankfully, no other video game developer ever did anything like that ever again. Super Mario Bros. 2.
So,
everyone knows what this is, though.
Super Mario Bros. 2 in Japan released as Super Mario The Lost Levels.
Yes.
Over here,
In the West.
Yeah.
Which I don't think...
It was on the Super Nintendo.
It was in the All-Stars pack, right?
It's in the All-Stars pack, yeah. So, yeah, it basically...
Hey, now!
it was all the same... Yeah, all the same... It looks exactly the same as the first one. They put it out pretty quickly and, it did not test well. The Nintendo of America representatives got sent copies of it and they were like, these fucking Japanese motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They're trying to punk us with this thing. This thing's fucking impossible.
It can't be beat.
I don't know what the term punkin means yet because it's 1986.
Pumpkin.
But it just feels right to say it.
So, I've actually never played it. Yeah, have either of you ever...
I think I've played the first level and, yeah, it was hard and, and unfamiliar and so I didn't like it.
Well, because the thing, like, they just kind of... Because obviously Mario 1 ramps up in difficulty the whole way through.
Yep.
And they just kind of kept doing that.
Yeah, right.
So it's almost like Mario 1 just goes that way longer, but more than a human being becomes capable of generally.
But this again, also, this is in a time when, you know, there's no... There's not really a blueprint for what a sequel should be. There kind of is. I mean, I guess they'd done a couple of Donkey Kongs at this point.
Yeah, and they were just different kinds of games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no... Yeah, so it's interesting to think, a time where it's like, oh, well, yeah, only people who've played the first one would play this.
Yeah.
And they were challenged up until a certain point, so they'll just want that challenge to keep going.
Yeah.
And to begin at that level that
which
they were at.
In retrospect, is such a crazy thing to do.
Well, it's still they're
it makes
still
sense.
In like
you
the,
can see
I mean,
they
it makes sense logically, but like from with the benefit of hindsight, it's like no, well, start it again.
Some types of games, like I don't know, like MMOs and shit, stuff that I don't actually tend to play very much, but they do a similar thing where everything just kind of keeps ramping up a bit.
Yeah.
Still, but this is like back when arcade design was still the predominant like philosophy behind designing things.
Sure.
Where you make it super fucking difficult and it's hard to do and it lasts you years because it's difficult, not because there's a huge amount of content in there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not something that people took to.
No.
It would be interesting to see someone try that out now. Just, you know, an indie developer do a sequel Mario Brothers 2 style and keep ramping it up.
Yeah.
I think if anything that the opposite like design philosophy has increased. Like there's more hand holding, there's more tutorials as time's gone on.
Yeah. There's no assumed prior knowledge of like even the world of the game. It's like, well, let's assume that you're picking this up when you've never played number one.
Yes. Nintendo especially make huge concessions for people, like sometimes clever ones. Like remember in like I think it was Mario Galaxy 2 came with a DVD that explained how to get through everything.
Right.
With it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like fucking like Skyward Sword just told you what to do all of the time and sucked and was boring.
Your favorite Zelda game of all time.
I want that game to blow up.
Well, should we move it? Because you kind of can't talk about this.
It's interesting to look at. I've definitely played it like on an emulator before illegally.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm the bad boy of the group.
He's just saying it.
Yeah, he's a maverick.
Well, the cops don't tend to listen to podcasts in January, so we should be fine.
It's interesting to look at, and it does feel very bizarre because Mario is, especially the first one, is such a thing that's locked in your head as to what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Having these bizarre, like, it feels like one of those ROM hacks or whatever that people
totally.
Do.
It feels like a fan-made kind of,
yeah.
It's weird that it starts with Mario walking onto the screen and a speech bubble above him saying, "Here we go again."
I'm getting too old for this shit. How can the same shit happen to the same guy twice?
Well, yeah, we can't really talk about, it's hard to talk about Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2 without talking about Western Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yes.
So should we move on to that?
Super Mario Brothers 2 in the USA and the West in general was released in 1988 for the NES and in Japan in 1987 as Doki Doki Panic. The version of Super Mario Brothers 2 that the West received was famously an altered version of the game Doki Doki Panic, a much easier game reskinned as a Mario title due to Nintendo of Japan's belief that the real Mario 2 would be too difficult for Western gamers. In the years following, this fact would be repeated to people who already knew it more than any other fact in the world.
That is very true, and happy to do it again.
Yeah, it's a fun little fact.
Yes. Yeah.
So you were saying you kind of your first major experience with playing a Mario was Mario 3.
Yeah.
That's what this was for me.
Right.
What a
weird way to start.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know why. I think I guess we owned it, but It is interesting. Like, it's such an interesting, like, you would never get that now. Like, it just shows a lot about the you know, not having the internet and then not being that open wall of communication where you know what's going on in another country and in their pop culture and stuff where they could just go, hey, we'll reskin a game and no one's going to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, a smart choice, I think, because I loved that game. Yeah. I loved having the Mario characters in it. I didn't care that the mechanics are very different. You can jump on top of characters, but then you just kind of ride them.
Yep.
Like you don't flatten them. You pick them up and chuck them.
Yep.
There's like the magic potion stuff where you make a door appear and then
go into the shadow world.
Get them little cherries.
The cherries. Being able to pick which character you play.
Yeah.
And again, huge for the time.
That was really cool as well. I remember that being great. Who was your favorite? Who are you going to take in?
Luigi.
Yeah. Luigi.
Yeah. I was always Luigi.
Fuck's wrong with you? My Peach can float.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought Luigi was like a nice balance.
Yeah,
I thought Peach was a bit easy or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think if I was having there were times when I would play Peach because I was you'd want that extra clearance for ledges and stuff.
Yeah,
but you know,
we can all agree that Toad can. What's he there for?
Toad can pick stuff up quickly.
He's Ringo.
And he ran a bit faster, I think. Yeah, I was never a Toad
He's
fan.
Faster and can pick stuff up quicker.
Right.
But yeah, there are some things in that have stuck around. I mean, they bought that dynamic back for Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U.
Yep.
Being able to play as those four characters and they all retained their traits from Super Mario 2, which I thought was really cool.
A lot of the shy guys and all of that.
Shy guys, I couldn't think of one that became a major part of it. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, and Birdo's back in some games. Well, Mario Kart.
Birdo's back, baby. Yeah.
They sat on Birdo for ages. I remember Birdo being a character in, I think, Mario Tennis on the 64. It was a Mario Tennis game.
Yeah.
Where they bought her back.
Right.
And this is the other weird thing. Where, what is it? It says something in the manual.
Oh, about the gender. Gender flipping of, I don't, there's something going on.
I think it says something like, Birdo is a boy, but he thinks he's a girl.
Yes.
Is like the language that it uses.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's interesting.
Extremely progressive for 1988.
Just to
you
casually
have to
slip it in.
I suppose so. It's like, it's that weird thing of like, I might be wrong about Japanese culture.
All right, here we go.
But here we go. It's bullshit. No.
Speaking of two of Japan's biggest fans right now.
There's a strange thing that I've found, and tell me if you feel like I'm wrong about this.
There's
a certain level of acceptance of everybody there, but also separation of them from the main population. Does that make sense? So they'll be like, yes, this person, for example, is gay. We accept that, but they no longer fit in.
You're talking about Japan.
Japan generally. In general, specifically in the Super Mario universe.
Not to be extreme. We're in dodgy territory here.
I know.
Not to make extreme generalizations about an entire country, but the attitude towards women there is pretty odd.
Right, yes.
I would say.
Well, what they do, and I think maybe you have kind of summed it up in a roundabout way, Knox, is they fetishize a lot of things, which by definition does separate them and doesn't necessarily make them bad, but does separate them and make a point of difference.
Yeah. Which, like, at that point you say separate but equal, and that is like a term that pretty dodgy people use.
Yeah.
Did I talk on the show about the bus?
I'm sorry for taking this podcast about Super Mario in this direction.
Did I talk on the show about the bus tour that we did in Tokyo?
I don't think so. I haven't heard about this.
So we drove past the Imperial Palace. And
it's where I'm doing my comedy festival show.
The tour guide was telling us about the imperial, the king.
Yes,
and
the emperor,
and how they wait.
Emperor. Emperor is the king of an empire.
Okay, right.
Imperial is emperor. Yeah,
the
yeah.
royal family.
Emperor Palpatine.
And about how they, you know, everyone pays taxes to maintain this property and stuff, but they love the king. Everyone, I got the impression from the way she was describing it, love the king. So the king has.
I'm more of a Beatles man myself, but Elvis is just as good.
So the king has two sons and a daughter.
Mm.
The daughter marries a commoner, so she's out.
Yeah,
she's just kicked out of the royal family.
Right.
Not allowed on the property anymore.
Ooh, huh.
So then,
goodbye, Princess Peach.
So then his eldest son, the wife gets pregnant and everyone goes, great, we're going to get a new, you know, this is the person who one day will sit on the throne.
Yeah.
He then has a daughter and everyone starts going, well, a girl can't be king. What's this bullshit? And they're all freaking out.
Yeah.
They have all these meetings where they start going, hey, you know what? Maybe we should change the law and just make it so that a girl can be king.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we should just do that.
We'll have to invent some kind of word for it. Some kind of female king. What do you call it? Like a king?
A she-king.
What are you?
All of a sudden, then the son under him.
Yes.
The second
eldest.
He
Oh, no.
He gets pregnant.
Son.
he has a son.
He gets pregnant.
And everyone goes, oh, thank fuck, because we were about to do something crazy.
Oh, wow.
So meanwhile, she, as she, this tour guide is telling us this, she goes, oh, yeah, so the eldest son, like his wife was like, you know, she went and studied at like Harvard. Like she was like a, she did all this amazing work and she gave up, she kind of gave all that up to sort of like be his wife and
yeah.
And have a son and foster an heir and then, you know, didn't. And basically she had a nervous breakdown after having a daughter. She felt so like she'd betrayed the country.
Yeah.
And she's been in and out of like she, I think she had like just come out of a mental hospital.
Ooh.
At the time that we were having this tour. And I thought this was extremely Japanese. The woman doing the tour goes, but now she's out and everyone in Japan wishes that she will have a quick, speedy recovery. Ha 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 ha. It's like, wait a minute. You all drove her in there by going, you and your fucked womb have ruined our country.
Oh.
It's so, yeah, just that attitude when, to all that stuff is extremely bizarre.
When you like, have an outdated monarchy.
Totally.
You know, like if even that can be behind the times, that's yeah.
But it was funny because it was like this story was kind of split up into her telling us a bit of backstory about the royal family as we drove up to the palace and me going, you know what? I'm not generally a fan of monarchies. This sounds, these guys sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then kind of walking around the grounds and going, hey, you know what? I love the Japanese royal family. And then we get back on the bus and we hear, you know, the second part of that story. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is no good.
Yeah.
By the way, no one of them doesn't isn't allowed to be spoken to anymore.
Pretty much.
When like, you know, Prince William, what's her name? Kate Middleton. Wasn't she a... In inverted commas, commoner.
Yeah.
Kind of a rich commoner.
Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, not to generalize, but fuck that country and everyone else.
They've given us nothing. Anyway, back to Super Mario Brothers 2.
Well, that's the thing. So then they go like, hey, this other country can't handle it. And I think they were right.
Yeah.
Like they generalized about America, but I do not think that Super Mario 2, the real one, would have gone damn well.
Yeah, I agree.
But isn't it weird how Shy Guys and Birdo have now become part of the Mario canon.
They just stole them from Doki Doki Panic.
So they just kind of co-opted them in. There must be someone who worked on that in Doki Doki Panic and he's getting jack shit for it now.
Yeah.
Some landlord who the fucking Shy Guys were designed.
Yeah.
And I wonder what that's like in Japan where this other game that was nothing to do with Mario, suddenly the characters from that are showing up in Mario.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good point.
Like, that'd be weird. Like, imagine if you're playing, like, I don't know, Metal Gear Solid and then fucking the Master Chief walks in. He's like, what's up? I'm in this now.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
It'd be great.
I'm the Master Chief. Anybody want to pretend like I'm a character? No, I'm not. I'm a big robot man and I've got nothing interesting to say.
Yep.
But learning how to defeat Birdo, like jumping on the eggs, picking them up in midair, and I just
like
remember
traveling
that was,
over to the other side of the level on the egg.
Yeah. Really cool. I remember thinking that was insanely cool.
Yeah.
Heaps
of mechanics were introduced in that game. Flying on the carpet, like a lot of cool stuff for a platformer that was brand new.
Yeah.
They had bosses in that one. I guess Bowser was a boss, but they had like the big rat there was.
No, Bowser's not a boss. What's Wart?
Wart.
It's a big frog called Wart.
No, I know, but Bowser was first one. And I'm saying the idea of bosses wasn't introduced.
Right, okay, right. Bring back Wart.
Yeah, the big frog king.
Bring back the radical mouse with the pointy shades.
throws bombs
at you. Yeah. Bring him back.
That was a difficult game as well. That was really tough.
It had a lot of, I think, you know, Bowser was just like, you kind of had to, you know, just dodge the flames
and then jump
and
over.
Work out the timing to get in. Whereas this I remember being one of the first things of, learning patterns and grabbing things and throwing them back at, which again, people just now credit with Haggard's Mario, but again, it's more the Doki Doki Panic.
Totally.
And at the time, I don't think it was that weird for a sequel to be radically different to the original thing.
Mm.
Like the second Zelda game was very different.
Yeah.
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 Well, even the one we mentioned before, Donkey Kong Jr., is a totally different kind of game.
Yeah.
There are probably other examples as well, but.
No, there's none.
Those are the ones. Moving on.
Well, like Terminator 2, infinitely better than Terminator 1.
Yes.
Hey, everyone gets to decide what they think, and that's the beauty of living in a democracy, Japan.
Before we jump to the next game, Super Mario Brothers 2, third best selling after 1, then 3. And also, another story fact.
Yeah.
It was all a dream.
All a dream, yeah.
All a fucking dream.
I used to read Word Up magazine.
That's an unfortunate blight on that game.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's all a dream. Had that been a hack thing by that point? Probably.
Yeah. No, Dallas had already happened.
Right.
Dallas was the one where the pissed people off about that, I think.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
a famous inspiration of Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
That's so funny, the idea of like that not being a hack thing at the time, and like someone playing through that game and getting to the end and going, whoa.
Wait. What?
Mind blown.
Yeah. Anything else on Super Mario Bros. 2?
I mean, I've got some more thoughts about the Japanese monarchy, but it might tie into number 3 a
bit
more.
Sure. Let's filter them out throughout the rest of the episode.
Super Mario Bros. 3 was a game about the Japanese king.
Seriously, though.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to cut that out. Super Mario Bros. 3, released in 1988 for the NES when I was a year away from being born, was arguably the first true sequel to the original Super Mario Bros. And was featured heavily in Hollywood movie The Wizard, a family picture about Fred Savage finding it difficult to transition his acting career from television to film.
So Mario Bros. 3, so this thing comes out, this is sort of the true sequel.
Yes.
Where it's the mechanics that people remember from Mario Bros. 1.
Big Shig's been working on this one.
What's up, everybody? I'm Big Shig. Get out of the way.
And this would have been, like, for the time, like, potentially the first, like, big, like, super hyped release of a game.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like 2 kind of came out to meet demand.
Yep.
Like people wanted something more, but then this was like, yeah, this would have been, wait, what year was this?
88.
88.
88, right. Or,
yeah, 88 in Japan and then like 90 over here.
Okay. And so the NES has been out for quite a while. You know, people love it. Like it's sold a shit ton.
Yep.
And the tie in with a movie. Like probably the well, that doesn't. It's not like that happens, but something of that scale, I don't think would have been seen until this.
Yep.
So yeah, this is your first, and also this is a huge game. So it has an overworld map.
Yeah.
Yes.
New for the series.
It's really long. It's got like all these new mechanics, like you being able to fly and wear different costumes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the items you could use on, like you could give yourself a mushroom or a feather on the overworld.
The overworld, yeah.
Yeah.
Or feather or leaf, I guess. Leaf.
Yes.
The feather was in Mario World.
Yeah.
You're on this quest to save the princess, but you're still trying to finding time to stop off at Toad's house and play fucking bingo or whatever.
Yes.
Play some slot machines that he's got set up in his multiple properties that he owns.
Those little hammer brothers were roaming around up to no good.
Yeah. I hated that.
Yeah.
I loved it. No,
they were annoying to fight and like you'd always, but that you is need effective the items as well. And then wouldn't was it always that the ship at the end would zip around to different parts of the map.
If you failed your first go, yes.
Right.
It would move to a different part of the map. Yeah.
So, the Koop, and introducing the Koopa Kids.
Yeah.
Bowser, you know, NFL player style, multiple fucking kids over the place.
Well, so this has been like, I don't know if this is like retroactively been changed, but so the Koopa Kids, right, they're not actually Bowser's kids. They are just kids. It's more like a Mickey Mouse Club type situation where Bowser's got himself like a group of kids who are into the shit that he does.
And then
Bowser Jr., who's in like Super Mario Sunshine.
Right.
Bowser's fucked. And that kid's come out of Mrs. Bowser.
Right.
When are we going to meet?
He had a kid.
When are we going to meet Mrs. Bowser?
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah.
That would actually be like in a Paper Mario game or something. I can imagine Bowser going like, "Oh no, you think I'm bad?
Yeah,
here she comes
with a big rolling pin."
Yeah.
Those Paper Mario games do have very kind of borderline bawdy kind of meta jokes about the series, which I think is cool.
That Boo with the big tits.
Yeah,
the second one,
big tit Boo.
Yeah, you got a big tit Boo going around.
I haven't seen this.
Let me tell you, most Boos are shy, but she ain't. But Super Mario 3 is fucking great.
Yeah. So when we finally did get a Nintendo, this was like the bundle. It was, it was Super Mario Brothers 3, and I think maybe Dr. Mario. This is the first NES game I ever played. And my God, I think it's my favorite game of all time still.
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing. I think that the actual gameplay, like the jumping, the running and stuff, is a bit more fine-tuned than the first couple.
Yeah.
He looks like, you know, and this is a big one where, and I get, and World 2 had this as well, but The leap from him being just a bunch of blocks to him looking like the cartoon of him on the box.
Totally.
And it looked great. Like, at the time, that sort of graphical upgrade is really impressive.
Well, I read, I don't know if this is true, but apparently the...
apparently the lizard people have actually taken place in every government across the earth.
No, I know that's true. The Super Mario Brothers 3 cartridge had a little extra chip to make the graphics better.
Yeah, they used to do that chip.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think that was the first one they did that, and then they kind of carried it through other NES games. But yeah, so this is the big first magical video games thing for me.
And this has started making a bit of a comeback, like a lot of the elements from this, like like Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS kind of lifted a lot of stuff from this. Like it's kind of almost a spiritual sequel. The Tanuki suit is back.
Yes.
All different sorts of suits as well. You can imagine it being a direct sequel.
Well, the Cooper Kids are back in that one.
Yeah.
They two of them as well. Like, isn't it only
Iggy and Lemmy or something? Yeah.
Some corner cutting stuff that they insist on still doing. But
Halfway through the overworld,
and
there's
ships,
a fortress.
The airships as levels. That made a big comeback in that game, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And just even in Mario Kart 8, when they had the DLC where you could play as Tanuki Mario, and his horn is the sound of him doing the little spin.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I did the biggest nostalgia cut.
And all the Koopa Kids are in that as well.
Yeah.
And it was great. It felt so much bigger and more like... it's like the perfect thing that you do for a sequel. You take what worked about the first thing and then add all sorts of shit onto it. And it worked really well.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea of themed worlds was, I guess, introduced for Mario.
I suppose so,
game.
Yeah. It had like...
Water
the first
world.
One was just normal.
Yes. And grassland, I think.
There was desert definitely at one point.
Yeah.
Third the ending was like lava shit.
Yeah. So it was, I think, grass, desert, water, giant, sky.
Oh, that's right.
Skyland. Then 6 was ice, 7 was pipeland, and 8 was lava. Pipeland.
So it's cool that they introduced...
You mean cramping.
off your tree.
A couple of bloody meth pipes is what I'm talking about. That's the difference of what I'm saying.
Oi, Shiggery, what do you guys smoke when you come up with this stuff? Well, hey,
big shig.
Sit around and get real
hey,
high.
Hey, big shigs, do you ever like... what the fuck were you on when you came up with Pikmin? What the fuck are they?
It's...
Sometimes I reckon I sleep. They'd be fucking useful to lift my bong over to me. This has gone too far.
I think it's cool that this is the first kind of introduction of that themed world. But I will say they lean way too heavily on that now in the 2D games.
Totally,
And we'll talk about – we'll get to a game soon where all this sort of shit is really pushed to its limit. But, I find that stuff – the desert now is like a kind of a bit boring now. But you forget that this was the – very first one. Also, here's a thing that I love that Shigeru said, I think pretty recently, I could be wrong, or maybe it's just that I only found out about it recently.
Yeah.
So his whole thing is that the Mario games, that Mario is kind of like a character and all these games he's just acting in. So this is like a little play that they're putting on for us when we watch them in the TV.
Yeah. Yes.
And his way of trying to represent that is like at the start of – the first time you properly see this is Mario 3 where the title screen is like the curtains part.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you know, they do that in 2 as well actually. The curtains open when you select the character.
Right.
And like the whole thing of like all the blocks kind of like look like they're drilled
They're screwed into the wall.
Attached to the ceiling sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so this is like a little play that you're watching. Like they're kind of like pretending all this stuff for us. Like, I think that's – and so like, when you play Mario Kart and it's like, how come this motherfucker Bowser isn't just trying to eat this cunt who's driving next to him in the car?
It's like, he's an actor.
They're off duty. They're hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, they're mates in real life. I think that's really cool. I don't know how long that's been out there for, but I have a feeling that he only said it kind of recently, and I think that's amazing that's just been sitting there this whole time.
Well,
and
I know
he's known it, the sly old dog.
Yeah. People have theorized that.
I'm not telling.
People have had that theory about Mario 3 just based on that curtain opening.
Yeah,
people
have
kind of but if he's confirmed that, that's great. That's really cool.
Yeah,
that kind of spirit makes a lot of sense for what Nintendo's all about.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fun. It's play,
I think
pretend.
That's...
Yeah. Don't take it so
not
seriously.
Not to go too over the top. I think that's beautiful. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Adam. okay, should we move along?
I had a little fun fact. Apparently, Boos are based on Mario 3 director Takashi Tezuka's wife.
In what way?
This fact was everywhere when
she
I looked
dead?
It up. No, apparently, she's very, like, quiet and reserved. And then occasionally she has a big temper.
Right, because I read a thing where like...
This is more... I mean, this is more Japanese weird with women stuff where it's like, totally. that sounds like a very polite translator going, oh, she's got a bloody temper on her. Yeah. She's fucking trashing around the house.
Yeah. I wonder
bloody
why she...
quiet as a mouse in the bedroom, but fucking take the remote off her and fucking all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
I fucking drew her as a ghost and she got angry.
But, I read a thing that it was just that they look embarrassed when you turn around and look at them because they wanted the gameplay thing of you chasing them.
Yeah.
It's just a quick visual way of showing that.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe it's based on some fucking guy's wife.
Apparently it's a quote. Like it's,
right.
It's weird. It is weird.
That is strange. The translations of your other little fun fact here that I liked, the translations of all the Koopa Kids names.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just called like, you know, Koopa Kid 3 or whatever in Japan. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
But over here, the guy who was translating them just liked a bit of classic rock.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're all called Lemmy and Iggy and stuff because they're after.
Yeah, right.
Weirdly slotted in Ludwig based on Beethoven, but the rest of them are rock stars.
Beethoven was rocking at the time.
Yeah.
When the Beethoven's rocking, please come a knocking because I need somebody to talk to.
Symphony number 69.
Well, that was the last one on the NES. And then things got a little more portable. Super Mario Land was released in 1989, the year I was born, for the Game Boy. Super Mario Land was the series' first attempt at a handheld game, meaning you could now take Mario with you anywhere, walking the dog, whilst playing basketball with friends, at a rooftop party. Of course, all of these situations were ridiculous places to be playing a video game rather than engaging in the activity taking place around you, so people obviously did not do any of these things and never would. Super Mario Land. What's that in reference to?
Yeah.
Give it about 3 months.
So Super Mario Land is basically, it's developed by a completely different team. And it bears, aside from the titular character, it bears little to no resemblance to any of the other. He controls differently.
The lead was that guy who made the Game Boy, right? Gunpei something.
Gunpei.
Pretty much,
Yeah.
And again, a lot of cool different stuff in there that has been... none of it really caught on, actually.
Not a lot of it.
He's in a fucking submarine driving around.
There's a couple of them. You fly a plane and you're shooting. There's
the princess that he's after. It's some side bitch or something. It's Mario's side piece that you're going after.
It's bloody Princess Daisy.
Yeah, Princess Daisy.
She was actually excommunicated from the princesshood.
She failed to bear a male heir.
This is the third woman he's been trying to save. Because in Donkey Kong it was...
Pauline,
that's right.
Right.
And then Peach and then Daisy. Yep. Then he's like, Daisy, I love your sister.
Yeah.
We're getting back together.
But I got a brother you might be interested in.
Well, again, this isn't... Like, Daisy's another... Actually, no, Daisy they did bring back. They started putting her in Mario
Tennis
games.
She's in the tennis and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah. So they had this thing where... Yeah,
Why did you invite Daisy? I ran into her at the shops.
We're playing doubles. We had her somewhere.
Tennis stuff, and
that was. I think it's probably even the same game. They needed doubles partners for everyone. So Birdo's in as Yoshi's partner, and Daisy's in there.
Mario's brought his weird cousin.
There's a Koopa and a shy guy for some reason. Wiggler.
Wiggler.
Fuck this Wiggler.
Does anyone
really
even
hard.
Know Wiggler? How did he get here?
This game's really hard.
Yeah.
It's tough. I remember even, as a kid,
so
having it on the
I
Game
think
Boy.
This was my first Mario game.
Right, okay.
Whoa.
Because, I remember having a Game Boy as a child. I remember going to some dude's house to buy it from an ad in the trading post in England. I would have been less than 4.
Okay.
When my world got flipped, turned upside down. my parents were with me and shit, and he tried to sell us that little magnifying glass thing that you'd put over the top of the Game Boy.
I remember that.
And I remember that.
Money, my eyesight's fine. I don't need this shit.
Little would you know, in but 3 years later, you would need glasses.
Fuck. I had one of them. I'd forgotten all about that and having it and going like... Putting it on and feeling like you'd hacked the system and going this is some fucking high-tech shit.
All those like bendable lights you could put on, the huge battery packs and things, the little fake joystick that would go over the top of the buttons.
Do you remember, the first...
You could really turn that thing into a heavy piece of shit.
The first Game Boy before they brought out those kind of pocket ones that had the improved screen.
Yeah.
Do you remember how hard it was to play where the lag on the screen? Like it was really blurry. Oh.
Sure, I remember it being blurry and very green, and you'd have to adjust the contrast all the time.
Yeah,
but But yeah, so I played a lot of Mario Land. To this day, actually, fuck, I can maybe finally solve this. To this day, ooh, there's a song in, like, do you remember the beach level of Mario Land? So it's like there's palm trees and shit. And there's a song in that. I'm going to put it in the podcast here because I need to know the answer to this.
Okay.
That song, I swore when I was a child, was exactly the same as a theme song for a show about someone who was living with an alien, but they didn't want to find out anyone to find out it was an alien. It Alf. Wasn't Alf. It wasn't Alf.
It
was
sounds like it was Alf.
It was a human male, an adult human male.
The X-Files.
Who was secretly an alien. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
But an adult human male that was secretly an alien.
And he might have had a kid who was an alien as well, and they were all studying Earth.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I swear that the music
from... I think maybe I'm thinking
of that. It was a Third Rock from the Sun. The music... The music from that palm trees level is the same as the intro, I think. But I've never been able to remember what the show was called.
Yeah.
If someone knows what the fuck I'm talking... If someone knows what I'm talking about, send me a coded message in magazines and I will decipher it. I will buy all the different magazines, put them together and decipher it.
Yep.
I have a beautiful
mind. The Zodi hack.
So, yeah, anyway, that game was pretty fun, though, even though it was a bit different.
It's weird that, you know, it in a time where... I don't know if this ever was on the table, but the idea of them just doing a port just didn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, you would think...
I mean, the Game Boy was pretty, like, I don't think it was the equivalent to an
pretty
NES.
Primitive,
you know
yeah.
I guess you know what it was? It would have been, their thinking would have been, well, people are going to have both. Like, maybe. There's going to be no one who's buying a Game Boy who doesn't have the NES. It's the biggest thing ever. So you've got to give them something new.
Yeah.
I imagine that's probably what the theory was, which,
maybe,
oh, boy, have they taken a big old backflip on that one.
Yeah.
Tetris was a port. And that was like the pack-in game. Tetris came out on the NES originally.
Did it?
Yeah.
Before
it came
Game
out
Boy.
On like some weird Russian computer that only existed on
submarines.
Oh, it was
like a training.
Yeah.
It was like a training program for astronauts or some shit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mario Land. Yeah. Big
definitely.
Into it.
Definitely a weird, like a weird thing.
Like, yeah.
It's
like
the
style,
most...
the things in it. Yeah.
And even like, even though that is technically a main Mario game, they haven't used anything from that, I guess, other than Daisy in the other things.
Yeah.
But that's, he had that's just a cosmetic thing that it's like,
well,
it's
those
purely
weird
just
little...
been thrown into tennis to be like, oh, yeah, you remember her. Look, it's cool that we did this, which they're very good at kind of dining out on. But
yeah, he had a Super Ball attack. Like, he had a bunch. There was a bunch of stuff in there that never came back.
Like, Easter Island heads would run at you.
That's right.
There was like a Chinese level as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they had those, like, the zombies that are in Sleeping Dogs as well, I think, at some point.
Yeah.
Which is free, or was free, on Xbox Live Gold. And I've probably been playing by this point on January the 4th. My opinion of it? I'll tell you later.
It's a secret.
Good stuff, Conan. The next one in the list is something I'm way more familiar with.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, well, should we move on to it?
Yes.
I'll just say that I never played this game until yesterday on an emulator.
Yeah.
And it is really hard, and I didn't really like it.
It's very weird, and it, like, out of the context of it being this cool, like, oh my God, I can take video games anywhere.
Yeah.
Which I guess they'd done with the Game & Watch, but the Game Boy was, like, such a more advanced thing than that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If it was a reverse thing, no one would give a shit. Like, if it were, like, sorry, if it was like a reverse of Doki Doki Panic, where you, like, put another skin on it.
Oh, yeah,
totally.
If it wasn't Mario,
forever. Yes.
No one would have given a shit.
If it was Super Doki Land or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we've got another game coming up, and here it comes right now.
Richard Mercer's doing these now.
This is dedicated to
an edit point.
Super Mario World was released in 1990 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It was a launch title and took place in a full two-dimensional world. Some say that the world in which we live is also two-dimensional because the big corporations control us and influence the media so that we do not question our surroundings. And rather than asking questions, most of the people you meet are just consumerist husks who live to gossip about the Kardashians rather than talking about things that really matter. Super Mario World also introduced Yoshi.
All right, baby. Now, Tom, this is, I think that this is like a big one for you, right? This is one of your favorite games of all time.
Well, when I said I know a lot about the next one on the list, I thought it was actually going to be a different one. But yeah, this one was, this is like deep in the nostalgia in the nostalgia zone for me. Again, yep. I never had it, but I did spend a lot of time going around to a mate's house and playing it. And right. It's one that for me, the visual style of this is what I love most out of a Mario game. It's right in the sweet spot. Like the little cape, the spinning around, the Yoshi.
Yep.
On Super Mario Maker, I just spend all my time in this mode.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The visual style I most like.
Yeah, me too.
And that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I never played it until the port of it that was for the Game Boy Advance in like 2002 something.
Yep.
Right.
And it was still good then, but I think it had definitely lost a little bit of what it would have been. Like, if coming out in 1990, it's pretty crazy. Like, it's so much bigger than Mario 3. It seems so much more complex and stuff.
Wait, this came out in 1990?
Yeah.
In Japan, yeah.
I think 92 here. Yeah.
So this is like right after, this is like a year after Mario 3.
Yeah, a year after I was born as well.
That's crazy. I was 3.
I was 1.
I was 4.
I was 3.
Yeah,
that's what I was just thinking. Like, we wouldn't have bought a Nintendo, the first one, until like 1991 or 2.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think the Super Nintendo didn't come out here until 1 or 2 or 2 as well.
Right. Yeah, stuff used to come out like a year. Yeah,
definitely. And you'd never know.
Yeah, totally.
As well, if we ever do one of these about Final Fantasy, that'll get real messy.
Yeah.
But the thing about Mario World, like Mario World is kind of Mario 3, but a bit better and looks heaps better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a souped up Mario 3.
Totally, which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. They got rid of some stuff. They got rid of the frog suit and the Tanuki suit.
Yeah, and that's
the raccoon.
Statue one, I think.
That's the Tanuki
is that
one.
The Tanuki's the raccoon.
No.
He can also turn into a statue.
Yeah.
With the Tanuki suit? Because a Tanuki is a... I looked this up the other day.
Yeah.
It's a Japanese something dog.
Squirrel dog.
Raccoon dog.
Right.
Japanese raccoon dog. And he looks like that when he's dressed up.
Okay, in Mario Brothers 3, there is your common leaf raccoon suit.
I like
suit.
That we threw some shit at just Japanese culture without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
But we want to be real specific.
Yeah. But so there's your normal raccoon suit, you fly and stuff. But in Mario Brothers 3 as well, there's, I think, one or two levels where you can get... It looks like a teddy bear suit where you can turn to stone as well as fly.
Do you get the Goomba shoe in Mario 3 as well? Okay.
Yeah, Kuribo's shoe, yeah.
They wanted to put Yoshi apparently in Mario 3 too, but couldn't really do it with the NES.
The tech, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why he's in...
There's a thing out there, I can't remember where I read this, but Shigeru apparently is, like, to this day, not happy with this game. It was kind of a bit... He feels it's a bit rushed. He has like a lot of regrets about he just wishes that he had a bit more time with it, which is crazy considering it's one of the biggest and most popular games of all time.
Totally. Yeah. The stuff of having multiple exits in some levels was really cool.
Yep.
And then like going off and like there's still stuff in that game that I never saw because it's like properly hidden and secret, and that's kind of cool. Like warp pipe type stuff, you know.
The multiple and the running through the kind of goalpost thing. It's like a weird different thing. Series.
They changed it like from game to game. Like the first one had the flag, the second one had the like card end of the.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The third one had the end of the. What did the second one have?
I think it's just a door you walk through.
Yeah,
but it had
the
big eagle mouth that would eat you after the
boss. That's right.
That was weird.
I love the music in this too. I'm just such a... everything stylistically... You know, like everything indie now is like...
Yeah.
Is, it's, you know, all this retro stuff.
Yeah.
People, when they do 8-bit stuff, I'm not as into it. But like I started playing this game called Super Cat Tales the other day on the iPhone. And it's like... It's basically trying to be Super Mario World.
Yeah.
And I just love that. The 16-bit...
Yeah, totally.
The music as well.
Yeah.
The kind of slightly pixelated... It's really hard to describe it without hearing it. But the little effects that they have. The sound... When you go to a castle and you open the door... That kind of sound.
Yep.
I just love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's right in the sweet spot for me.
See, I find Super Mario World... And I have no nostalgic connection to Super Mario World.
Yep.
Never owned a SNES. Yep. Didn't play it until I was an adult.
Sounds like you're denying an allegation.
There's no reason for you to suspect me at all. But I find it too cutesy.
Okay.
I feel like it's it's your Super Mario 3 with all the very few edges of that, like rounded off even more.
The gritty Super Mario 3.
Yeah. But Super Mario 3 had like a real air of mystery and weirdness about it. And I think Super Mario World is way more kid-focused and kid-friendly.
I think exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Really.
Where like Super Mario World for me is a lot more like... hiding secrets under the surface and stuff. Because like you go right. into those areas and you'd have to stomp on the exclamation mark switch, and then you could go back to old levels that you'd already beaten
yeah.
and get to other areas. And yeah, all that yeah. sort of shit was really cool and the
music
cool.
in the... well, sorry.
No, I just I said cool twice because I couldn't think of a different word.
The music in the castle levels is very full on and foreboding. Yeah. Like when you do get to bosses, like you're just on a little platform that's in lava. Like
yeah,
there's a lot of cave levels that you go into. That's I don't know. For me, it's a little more. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting that you think that.
I think just maybe like the visual style.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, sure. It does start with you finding a little house of dinosaurs and them going, hey, where's our friend?
Yeah.
yeah.
That kind of makes sense that it might have been rushed out because it did come out like right with the launch of the Super Nintendo. I think
this was in the days where stuff just had to, you know, yeah. like, yeah. yeah.
Well, all they had for the launch of that, I think I'm right about, is that and F-Zero in Japan.
Right.
They
right.
had two games for it.
Right.
And that's a tough sell. Well, then again, the Wii U's only had that many for the entire lifetime of the fucking thing.
But back then, would it have mattered? Like, you know,
no.
There's no basis for comparison. And you're going to get a game and just like, you know, spend ages on it. Like,
yeah, totally. Have you ever seen all the, like, you should look these up on YouTube if you've never seen it. Clips of like news stories from the time of when the Super Nintendo came out. Oh. And all of these parents going, it's a fucking scam. We already bought one of these like 5 years ago.
Right.
And now they're trying to sell it to us again.
Yeah.
Hey, Miyamoto, fuck you.
Toe.
Mario, yeah. more like Mari, no.
Ooh.
Luigi, more like Noigi. Princess Peach, more like no.
I do remember
that's what
reading,
they were saying, not my words.
I do remember reading a thing about that, about how they, yeah, they did have a lot of trouble trying to convince people that this is a brand new thing.
Yeah,
it hadn't
really
not
happened
con.
That much
yeah,
before.
Yeah, totally.
Like there
yeah.
was the old Ataris and whatever, and computers had kind of done it, but like,
yeah.
for most people, the NES was the first thing they bought, and then, what, I got to buy a fucking another one?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And totally. Now people buy a new iPhone every year. Consumerist husks.
I mean, like Nintendo releasing a console and then releasing the next console with just one small little thing added to the name. That's
yeah.
that's
yeah.
stupid. Yeah.
When will they learn, idiots?
Never.
Yeah, anyway, I think the style of this... I mean, there's definitely Mario games I prefer more in terms of playing through.
Yeah.
This is... You know what? Weirdly enough with this one, I like the style of it. I like the vibe of it. I like the music of it. I don't really have that much interest in playing through it again.
Right.
Yeah.
I just, yeah.
See, I like to play through at least Super Mario Brothers 3. I really enjoy that yeah. game. Still, yeah. it just holds up so
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Even like more so than Super Mario Brothers 1 or 2. Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. yeah.
All right, should we move on?
Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, was released in 1992 when I was 3 years old for the Game Boy. Super Mario Land 2 tasked Mario with defeating his evil twin or cousin or something whose name was Wario. Wario's mustache was shaped like the letter W, which is an astounding coincidence considering that Wario's name also begins with a W. Even more amazing, the hat that he wears also has the letter W on it. These facts combined have led some to believe that Wario is the luckiest man in the world.
Now, I don't know about you fellas, but I have not a lot to say about this other than the very interesting fact that it introduced Wario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I loved this game.
I
actually played this quite maybe like 2 or 3 years ago when it went up on the eStore on the 3DS. And I played it to completion.
Oh.
I played it to its absolute climax.
Yes.
I spoofed all over the screen.
Wait, hold on.
I'm with you, Knox.
I was talking about someone else for a while.
I love this game. So when did this come out in relation to Mario World?
Like 2 years after, something like that.
Yeah.
2 years after.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be my one complaint about Mario World versus this game.
Yeah.
Is that Mario World kind of... In terms of like level design and environments, it plays it pretty safe.
Yes.
It's like you pretty much are just like, yeah, it's a bit more of the same. This is a grassy field. This
Fire
is a cave.
Bit,
yeah.
Ghost
yeah,
bit.
Cavern. This game is off its fucking dick.
Yes. Yes.
In terms of level design and introducing new things.
Yeah.
This is like, and what's weird about this is like Super Mario Land, you know, they're sort of developing that at a time when, again, they don't know they don't know where this franchise is really going to end up.
Mario is in the weirdest spot at this time. Like, this is when the Bob Hoskins movie has come out.
Right.
There's been the cartoon with, like, all this weird shit where, like, no one really knows what the fuck Mario is.
Yeah.
But it's the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, but I'm actually saying what's interesting about this is, like, at the time that when they do Mario Land, it's like, we've just got to get a version of this out on Game Boy. Just put other people on it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's different. Who cares? Mario's cemented enough at this point that you would think that there's enough of a playbook that's like, just follow this.
Yeah.
But still, they're taking these huge leaps with this this iteration.
I played this for the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
January the 3rd.
Yes. Now, can you confirm, because I played a bunch of them on an emulator because I haven't played it in a while. Is this the one where you have an overworld and in the first bit, like, Wario's in a castle at the top?
Yes. Uh-huh.
But you can, like, go off to the left and go to, like, Tree Land or something?
Yeah, yeah. You can go to any of the worlds straight away.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a turtle land. There's a big marching toy, like a wind-up
soldier. That looks like you. That looks like Mario.
Oh, right. I thought you meant that looks like Adam.
You don't look that dissimilar from Mario.
I don't think I have the, like, positive attitude that Mario seems to have. Yeah,
maybe more of a Wario.
I prefer to run.
You are wearing purple.
Yeah. That's my Luigi.
Yeah, so it's there's, like, you go into space at one point.
There's
you're
a space
on the moon.
One. There's a submarine, I think. There's a whole bunch of crazy shit in
there's
there.
There's the rabbit ears that you unlock. Like one of the costumes is rabbit ears where you kind of float.
Yeah, you get a carrot and it's sort of like a similar thing to the Tanuki or the raccoon thing.
Yeah.
Where it lets you jump up really high and then, like, flap your little rabbit ears and kind of...
Is that why the rabbit ears are in the Smash Bros. Games as, like, a little power-up?
No, I think they're from Ocarina of Time.
Oh, okay.
Because you get a rabbit helmet.
Ooh.
And whether or not that's a reference to this, who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah. But so... the introduction of, just changing the script up, all the overworlds being, you know, not just grass world and not just ice world. There's actual real invention and really fucking weird. There's like a Halloween themed level where you're jumping on like pumpkins and stuff.
Yeah, right.
I'm
going to
play this game again.
Just all of the enemies are like snakes and birds and bloody weirdo things.
Or they're like little, I think they're Goombas wearing pumpkins.
Right.
Which...
And I mean, I'm not into the 2D, the new 2D Marios that they're doing now.
Yeah.
And just talking about this yesterday with you, that made me realize is that there's no invention in them anymore. They really are just following that playbook of here's a swamp level. And I would like those games a lot more if they tapped into a bit more, just took a few more risks. I mean, it's a 2D Mario. If you have that stuff at the start of it, people are still going to buy it.
Yeah.
But just fuck around a little bit more. And the introduction of Wario, like it not being Bowser and it just being this like fucked up, demented version of you that's gone and like taken over your castle. Like,
back then as well, I remember him being a lot more like, not scary, but
insane.
Like,
he has like weird bulging eyes and shit. Like he does look crazy.
They've toned him down a lot. In the original art, he looks fucking mental. You know what he reminds me of at the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit? When
Crazy Judge.
Huh?
The Judge guy?
The judge
What's that actor's name?
It's Christopher Lloyd,
Christopher Lloyd, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, when he first cops the acid on the face, he's like, the eyes coming out.
Yes.
Scary as shit. Just really mental
and
stuff.
And his weird, like, silhouette walking up and down along the castle.
Yeah.
There's that little gambling game. There's a little gambling game in the hill, I remember I always used to go do.
The cover art of this is really cool. Like, the little, it's like an illustrated thing, and there's, like, enemies that you've never seen before.
It's really great. And, like, everything looks, he looks like Mario. It's not like this weird, like, half measure like Super Mario Land was.
Yeah.
It's a proper, and it is genuinely one of the best 2D ones.
And for a handheld.
I would prefer it to World, I reckon.
Huge game for a handheld.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
really huge
game
for a handheld.
I played through it, like, 10 times as well.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid, and, you know, that was one of the six things I had on the Game Boy.
And I think save files introduced at this point.
Yeah, yeah. You start in like a little pipe room and you...
That's right.
Yeah. Am I wrong in saying this also had a bit more color and a bit more detail in...
You are
in
wrong. It was on the Game Boy. So there was
color,
just black
and white.
Not color,
but there definitely is detail in it.
Definitely. The graphics look a lot better. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think the Super Game Boy was out at this point. And some games had things where if you put them into that, it would know what colors to put where a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It might have had some of that.
I think this may have been just before its time.
Possibly.
Maybe. I think this was just on the cusp. But like.
But it was, it was black. It was
but the characters look, there's so much life in all the characters and the worlds are just so believable. And I mean, I would love to see them. I talk a lot on the show. I wish Nintendo would sort of, at least with their software, they have these they have these properties that they can do so much with.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're always going to have the option of doing a 2D. That's always going to be there and it's always going to sell a shit ton. Take some fucking risks. And I don't mean fucking make a crossover RPG with the with the rabbits from Rayman.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game is great.
It's crazy that, like, when they go, all right, we're on all sorts of planets now, they still make an ice planet.
Yeah, totally.
They still make a fire planet.
Well,
3D
guess,
World and 3D Land have a bit more of the sort of invention.
I mean, Galaxy was sort of, yeah, Galaxy, there's a lot of invention in that.
In some of it, definitely, but then it still does fall back into those, like, desert planets. Sort of things.
True, yeah. But that's like, I guess, you know, people kind
get
of
get a turtle to eat you. Be in the inside of a turtle.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
All that shit, I agree, is really, really cool.
That is that a level in this?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
A turtle, it's like a whole area is like you go down to like a peninsula somewhere and then the turtle's neck extends and goes, oh, and
that's
eats
right.
You.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool.
Definitely recommend getting this on the 3DS eShop or whatever you choose to do. It's great.
It's very, very good.
It's fun.
And that's why they followed it up with Super Mario Land 3, Wario Land, released in 1994 for the Game Boy. Super Mario Land 3 shifted focus off of Mario and focused on the previous game's antagonist, Wario, successfully enough that it led to a spin-off series about Wario's continuing adventures. Miyamoto would later try to reproduce this winning formula when he created the television show Joey, a spin-off of his earlier SNES title / popular sitcom Friends. Years later, Miyamoto would go on to call Joey his greatest professional, personal, and artistic success.
So how good's Joey, guys?
Yeah, love Joey.
This is another one that I love. I remember the marketing for this. And again, this is a huge,
massive
real
left
gamble.
Turn.
Yeah,
really
big departure.
Weird decision for them to make.
Because
again,
they changed the mechanics and shit in this.
Now, this one I did play at the time. I had a family friend where I'd bloody nick their Game Boy and play this one.
Oh, you were that kid, of course.
And I was the eldest of all the family friends as well.
I'll beat you up if you don't let me take it.
Yeah. What's cool about this is there's no commerce behind this decision. It's just, hey, what if that fucking weirdo from that last game, what if you played as him? And I remember the marketing for this being very much like, hey, you ever want to play as the bad guy in a game?
Yeah.
And me thinking, fuck yeah, that sounds cool. Which is not true at all. Like, but thinking like, oh yeah, what if you were the... It's like, no, you still just have to defeat dudes and pick up
stuff. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dynamics have changed, so...
It does actually change it, so that's unfair. It's not the same shit. Because, like, the shoulder charge is your main thing.
The shoulder charge. He's not jumping on people. He can pick people up.
Yep.
He has all his little hats.
Got the little bull helmet thing, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a dragon, which you can breathe fire with. There's a little jet one, which you can fly across the...
Yep.
It was like a safari hat looking thing, was there?
Safari hat was his default.
Okay, right.
And then when he gets small, when he gets hit in his normal state, he turns into this tiny little weird fucked up version of him with a mohawk.
Yeah.
This little punk kid.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I just love... Wario is like one of my favorite characters in popular culture. Mm-hmm. I love him. Like, I think just... And yeah, him in this, like seeing this come out and be like, just something about this fucking weirdo, this big fat crazy guy that you get to go around and play as. I loved it. I love all the iterations of this game.
Nothing wrong with being a big fat crazy guy.
it, right down to like all the Game Boy Advance ones as well. There's like Wario Land 4 I replayed recently on the Wii U Virtual Console is great.
Right.
See, I've never played any of the... I played this one, but I've never gone in on any of the others. Are they?
I played Shake Dimension on the Wii.
Oh yeah,
that was great. That was cool.
Yeah.
Was that like a third party developer?
Yeah,
it was
someone
like,
else did that.
Yeah, but that was cool. I still think if Nintendo made a proper new Wario game,
it'd be great. When the GameCube, which I never played, had a 3D Wario on it.
Oh,
but I'd love
like
to
treasure something. All right,
I think it was just called
Wario
Land, Wario 3D Land.
Yeah.
I would love to see them. Wario World.
Well, because he's in a weird place now. The character of Wario is in a weird place now where, like, WarioWare is the thing that you associate with him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I wish they would... or even just make him a... You know, if they're going to do a 2D Mario or a 3D Mario, like, have him be a playable character in that. Have him be the villain in that, and then you unlock him at the end.
Yeah.
I kind of would like to see him... Get him back
and get a little mischievous
again.
Get
a little more traction.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like when they put him in Smash Brothers, he's in his WarioWare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game's great. This is one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
GOAT if you ask me.
Yeah. I haven't played it in many, many years, and I don't think I played that much of it at the time. I wonder if it stack up still.
I just played it yesterday on the old emulator.
Yeah,
it's great. It's still really good. And because like I said, I played a lot of them. It was one of the most enjoyable ones by far.
I remember really liking the music in it as well because it was all this like crunchy, like gross music like Wario would have, like this.
Yeah.
And all the different enemies are really cool. And a cool thing for its time where the ending changes based on how much treasure you get in the game.
Yeah, because the story was that.
It's a genie. Also, he gets kicked out of his castle.
He wants a castle like Mario's, basically. Right. And so he's real jealous of Mario and he wants to build a big castle. And the genie's like, well, I'll give you a big one, but you have to give me some money for it.
Kind of fucked up genie ask for money.
I know, right?
Also,
it's just a contractor. That's not a genie.
What happened to Mario's castle?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where'd that go?
Yeah.
I guess it was Peach's castle.
Maybe.
Or like after the divorce it was. You've been messing around with Daisy again, haven't you?
So yeah, Wario's trying to build a big castle and then depending on how much treasure you have at the end, there's like an ending cinematic where you have like a birdhouse or a tent or whatever. Yeah.
Cool. Really cool. Yeah. Really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, sick.
Great game.
Real good game.
All right, and is it time? Is this the last one?
This is the last mainline Mario game from between 1985 to 1995.
Yep,
that sounds really specific when you read it out like
it
that.
Is.
Well, it is because there's heaps of Mario games.
Yeah, there's fucking tons.
Yeah,
and we'll discuss what we're going to do about the rest of them after this one, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right.
Shut up.
I'm editing this, so I'm going to cut that out. Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, was released in 1995 when I was 6 for the SNES. Yoshi's Island was a beautiful crayon-coloured prequel to Super Mario World, which tasked Yoshi with protecting baby Mario. Steven Spielberg has cited this game as the inspiration behind Jurassic Park, claiming, quote, "Seeing baby Mario riding that brave green dinosaur brought me to tears."
It's just going through this list it's just reminding me, like, every one of these last few there's been
so different from each other, right?
Yeah, so different from each other. So that, you know, that accusation that I kind of leveled at Mario World that it's playing it very safe. I mean, then you get to this and maybe it's those two Game Boy ones in a row, but I mean, what a weird fucking thing to do for a sequel.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
So this game, this was the game that I got a SNES for Christmas and this game came packed in with it.
Right.
And so this is probably the SNES game that spent the most time with.
Right.
And I remember this having a huge launch and you were just playing it before when we came in, Ben. It stands out. It looks amazing even today.
Yeah. Like, I enjoy playing that a lot more than Super Mario World. Yeah.
Similarly to 3, it had like the special chip in it as well that would like increase the power of the, because it had some cool effects later on. You haven't really seen any in what you've played, but like big things fall towards you, 3D looking stuff.
Oh right.
Like things, there's a level where everything
really
warps
pushing,
and
what is it called, the mode 7 chip
that was in the Super Nintendo
that would allow it to, like, things like racing games like Super Mario Kart and F-Zero, where it's basically you're not steering around the track. The plane is just kind of moving as you're, when you turn the controller, you're just turning the floor.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what it's telling the system.
Yeah.
So there's heaps of stuff in that where, in Yoshi's Island, where enemies get really, really big and stretched out, and all these effects, which for the day were like pretty mind-blowing stuff.
The, like, crayon-y sort of aesthetic of it looks fucking great.
Yeah,
it's really cool. Which they haven't. Like, even the Yoshi games, as they've gone on, haven't really done something like that. Like, they've been at plasticine-y and, like, wool, I guess, for that one, which looked cool.
I mean, the wool thing is, I'm kind of halfway through Woolly World on the Wii U, and it's cool. It is a really fun platformer, but it does look really cool, but it just doesn't have that same effect of just looking, you know, really really nice and cool. It's just not, I mean, maybe that's probably the nostalgia talking, but I just remember seeing this at the time and thinking, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is nuts.
No, the whole thing in general of, like, cartoon come to life
is,
if it is done effectively, looks fucking awesome. Cuphead, whenever fuck that comes out.
Yeah.
that looks really cool for the same reason.
Yeah.
And Yoshi's Island, what, 20 more than years ago, did that probably the most effectively of something up until then?
Yeah.
I would say. This is a great platformer, great mechanics in it. The combination of egg throwing.
The only thing I have a problem with is just like the way that you have to hold the button and sort of aim. It's like a timing-based aiming thing where
I know,
yeah.
But also that was pretty... The depth of the controls in terms of like you lick stuff, you...
Oh, also fucking Baby Mario is real annoying.
Yeah. But I think that's deliberate. Like that's meant to stress you out and freak you out and go, I'm going to get him back.
Totally.
Like, I hate it, but I get why it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, they've done a... They kind of dabble in these like kind of weird half sequels to this game, but never quite to the same success as this. I don't think there was
literally a Yoshi's Island 2, I think, on the DS,
and
I don't remember that being well received.
I played through it at the time. I really liked it at the time, but it was just it just was kind of like an expansion pack. It was sort of doing all the same stuff and not really adding anything. So there's baby Donkey Kong, baby Wario, and baby Peach.
Right.
That you kind of find at all at different points, and they kind of have their own different little things that they like. I think baby Donkey Kong can like hold onto vines for you and stuff.
Oh yeah.
When you're in those bits.
Yeah.
But yeah,
ain't no one going to be able to hold on to vines anymore. They're bloody shutting the whole thing down.
Yes.
So Ben, it's I liked it, but I don't think it. And I think the fact that it came out on the DS, like it was, you know, coming out on a handheld.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of underselling it a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah. Like a really good like using all the modern technology, cartoony, pastely, you know, crayony thing. Would look really great, probably.
Yeah,
I would like to
see
that.
Totally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think that brings us to the end.
It's crazy how I think literally every game we've talked about, with maybe the exception of, like, the real Mario 2, still would really hold up if you played it tomorrow.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. This is such an interesting...
Maybe Mario Land doesn't as well.
This 10-year gap is really... This 10-year span is really interesting where there's a lot of... Yeah, them forming things that are going to become
totally
kind of, you know, canon and tropes and just trying things. Mm. And yeah, I mean, by the time this finishes, we're sort of Mario Kart's out, but that's a site. We're talking just platformers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so by this point, pretty much all of the major kind of trope things of the Mario series are there. You've got the Koopa Kids, Yoshi, the babies, the Mario Kart, which the whole idea of a spin-off kind of all those characters doing different shit.
Your princesses,
Warriors,
your Toad.
And nothing, like there hasn't been any other like non-Mario kind of 2D platformer, in my opinion, that has come out in that entire time period that kind of challenges them.
Well, Sonic did.
Sonic came out, and that's like a pretty different thing because the actual like platforming in that kind of sucks. The sense of speed is good.
But that was deliberate. Yeah. That was like, we can't take on...
Totally, but then it's like it becomes closer to a racing game or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
But still, I mean, those three, I mean, four if you count Sonic and Knuckles, which are coming out roughly the same...
Yeah.
No, that starts with the Mega Drive.
Yeah, yeah, but that's like from
early 90s. Out roughly around the same time. And that's its golden era where they're pretty much done by this
point. But then everything else is like those fucking like Lion King and Aladdin platformer things.
Alex Kidd was on, I think, the NES. Yeah. The Sega.
The Master System.
Shit like that. Like there's so many platformers that come out and just these days you wouldn't really want to go back and play.
Totally.
But all of this stuff still really holds up because they got the controls right and all the basic stuff.
That's the thing. They innovated in each game and each innovation was like the gold standard.
Yeah.
Like they just created the perfect thing each time they
created
something.
There has never been a better game with a green rideable dinosaur than
Jurassic Park for the Sega.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Turok.
So I guess we should wrap it up there.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back into current stuff next week. Next week, you know, Switch stuff is starting to happen.
Well, we have an episode before that, and we're thinking of doing like kind of a very quick after the fact reaction thing to the
Nintendo Switch big announcement thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, the announcement's going to happen like the day after we put up an app, so we're going to have to do
exactly.
Something quickly.
Exactly. So,
Hey, if you want to find us on social media, at FilthyCastPod on Twitter, FilthyCasuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com, paypal.me/filthypod if you want to chuck us some cashola. And yeah, keep on running.
All right, guys. So thanks so much for listening. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
side scroller, I barely know her.
That's what I'm going to edit in.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.